This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, March 3rd, 2010.
Okay, I'd like to call this meeting to order.
This is David Brooks, Vice Chair of the Employee Assembly. It's Wednesday, March 3rd at 12:20. Our special guest today is Mary Opperman, Vice President of Human Resources. And we have some varied questions for her that we'd like to discuss. Are there any late additions to the agenda before we get rolling? Nobody? Okay. Well,
Roll call.
I'm going to have a list of everyone's names.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
David Brooks here, Pempa's here, Tanya's here, Linda's here, Ned's here, Ian's not here, Alan's not. Has anyone heard from Alan?
I have a report from him. He may be late.
Okay. Leslie's here. Leslie's not here. She is here. Gemma's not here. Tim's here. Sue's not here. Okay. No late additions to the agenda. Mary has to be somewhere at 1. So we should just get rolling. Does anyone want to present one of their questions to Mary, or I can? Makes no difference to me. No? Okay.
I'm going to make a general suggestion, which is that you have Alan Bishop come and go over the layoff benefits and protocols with the EA, rather than have, I'm enough removed from the actual benefits and services that I just think he could do a better job answering your detailed questions, because he works with them more on more of a day-to-day basis, and there's a lot of benefits and services available to staff facing layoff, and he can A, bring you the materials, but then also go through them, and because you will be asked these questions, and I think it just would behoove you to know what they are. You can read them, but just be able to then go through them with him and ask your clarifying questions, because people can read them. They're still going to have questions, and they'll ask their questions of you.
Okay.
Okay.
Who does he work for? Is he part of HR?
He works for me. It
really matters. Okay.
He's the director of employment and administrative HR reports to him. So all of the people who do human resources for all of the vice presidents, the president and provost, that whole unit, so they service over 3,000 people, that unit reports to him.
Okay.
He's one of the senior people in HR, but he would be the best person, I think, to go over the...
Okay.
It's like when you're late to class.
Well, our first question is, at this point, do you have a better sense of the number of layoffs that might take place by the end of this fiscal year?
You know, I've been thinking about this, because tomorrow I do my first managing change conversation in the, it's like the parlor or something. It has this unusual name.
Sage.
I think the Sage Parlor. Odd name. So I've been trying to think about that conversation, because it's not going to be a conversation if I don't come up with some way to introduce it. Everybody's going to be sitting there looking at me, and I'm going to look at them. And, I've been trying to figure out how to put this together in a way that people will feel open enough to ask their questions. And so I've been looking at the data and trying to get a sense of this scope of how we got to where we are and where I think we are going. And so here's what I think so far we're down about 700 positions on the campus, so we're down about 7% on the staff workforce so far. The vast majority of that has been through attrition and the SRI. We're down about, give or take, about 200 through layoffs. If you call out of that, you know, because I run these numbers on a running basis, so what's difficult is it's hard to figure out where to start counting from the financial distress. We lost in the fiscal year, fiscal year nine, we lost a big, huge grant before we started with our financial problems. So we had a big layoff due to one of our institutes losing a grant that spiked our layoff in that fiscal year. So when I pull that layoff number out, I'm guessing, I'll have these numbers better by tomorrow, about 200 layoffs that I would attribute to the financial downturn. So it's not an insignificant number if you're in it, by the way. So I always worry about saying things like this. But of the 700, the minority of the downturn so far, anyway, has been involuntary. And so I'm trying to put my head around what's happening on the campus and what we're, how to frame why I'm trying to put my head around this as a member of the staff community. Because we made a decision, for better or worse, not to rip the Band-Aid off on the campus, not to say, okay, on, you know, May 30th, we're going to make, you know, these decisions, you know, not to sort of do a Xerox or a bad example, but, you know, not to do a corporate downsizing and take out 1,000 people and say, okay, now we're done, and we've made all of our calls, and we're finished, and here's how we're going to move forward as an organization. And, you know, at one point it seemed like the right, you know, thing to do. For the organization now, you know, you hear people say it's like a death by 1,000 cuts. It's starting to feel agonizing on the campus because everybody is living through this very slow, painful process where it just keeps going, and it's like motion sickness. It just keeps rolling on and on and on. And it doesn't look to me like there is going to be a period of massive layoffs. I think what we're going to have is a period of time that's going to keep feeling like this. There will be areas where they're downsized, where there's a handful of people here and a handful of people there who lose their jobs through layoff. And I think mostly what's going to happen is areas are going to be targeted for review, and they're going to optimize regular attrition in those areas. When jobs get vacated, they're not going to fill them. And they're going to use those regular attritions to get those areas to come down. And, you know, that is, it's questionable as a ongoing community member how it feels to be involved in that, because it'll take us a lot longer this way, and we have to, and people are saying the morale's really bad, people are really nervous, and I think what we have to do as a community is figure out how people keep working during a process like this and keep productive if our ultimate goal is to use other ways of downsizing and trying to keep layoffs to a minimum, which was our stated intention from the beginning. It's, you know, it's working. We are using alternate forms of reducing, but boy, oh boy, it's draining, and people are having a hard time keeping up with the work.
My question was, if you had a targeted area and you wanted to reduce the workforce through attrition, would that actually happen fast enough within the fiscal year?
Well, I'll use HR as an example. So HR is one of those areas. And we just did our spans and layers, and we met our target. Haven't filled a job in how long? But we met the spans and layers target. Now, people have done different jobs. We've had to retrain people and move them around. They may not be the jobs they necessarily wanted, but they're working.
And so it is possible.
Yeah. I mean, in case of one person, her husband was laid off from BorgWarner. It beat the heck out of both of them being unemployed. So it wasn't the job she hoped for, but it was better than no job in their family. So, you know, we have managed to come down 11 positions this way, and no one has been laid off. So,
okay.
You know, it's a way of moving people around, and living proof that it works.
Actually, we have another question that's kind of related to this topic about the externally posted positions. Has there been any consideration in tapping staff who might be well prepared to take a higher level position, thus creating a different opportunity for someone who's been laid off?
Or well, nothing posted externally that's not at least also posted internally.
That was my question. That maybe elaborate a little more. So I'm noticing that, you know, some of the positions are higher level positions. Again, there's say someone who may be in a job that is safe and secure, but they may be great for this job and it's going to be a step up for them. And this other job may be necessary, and then maybe someone who's on layoff can move into that position before we go external. And I'm wondering if college and unit HR folks looking at those kinds of things and tapping resources you have within.
It's, you know, so there's a couple things that are happening. We have a group that meets and goes over every open, we don't have very many open positions, goes over every open position before we open it at all. And then when they're open, almost every job opens inside before it opens outside. They're looking always at the layoffs before they put them up at all. So we don't post them at all before we scope the layoff pool. Then we put them up inside if we have the time. Now, the only thing I will say, we don't do that if they're SIM money or stimulus money, because you can't. You just don't have time. You have to start spending it as soon as you get it. Or in some cases, other forms of external research funds. So those usually will go up at the same time. But yeah, we're trying. Now, what we're finding is that people inside, even though we're saying, if you see it posted, it's a pretty good bet, it's a safe job, they're sticking with where they are. We're not getting a lot of internal movement. Honestly, I think if they're happy where they are and they know their boss, we're just not seeing a lot of people wanting to risk moving around. It's just not a time, even nationally, even externally, most job applicants are either out of work or in a circumstance where they feel they need to move. You just don't see in an economic climate like this, a lot of people leaving a place they're really happy. So it's not really a Cornell thing. And if you tap someone, then you know what they say? Why?
Right.
Is there something you know that I don't know? I mean, it's just a very unnerving time for people. Which is completely understandable. I mean, I do have to say, when the president said, so, you know, Mary, there's these other two areas. Like, do you honestly think I'd go, you know, nah, thanks, Eddie. I mean, like, okay, sure, no problem. I really, you know, always wanted to do two vice presidents. You know, you're like, okay. You know, the last thing you're going to say is no when it's time.
So all jobs are posted externally?
No.
After, no.
If we can find somebody inside, they're not going outside.
So is there a certain amount of time they're posted internally before they're posted externally?
Mm-hmm. No, they're going up inside. They don't go up inside at all if the layoff takes it.
Right.
They go up inside, you know, for a period of time, and then if they don't find anybody inside, then they go up outside. What they're doing, though, is they're taking them to this job search effort, so the people doing the case managers get a whack at them first
mm-hmm.
to see if they know anybody who is gonna is either laid off or on notice before they even put them on.
I'm wondering how that on notice part works, just because I feel like our department, we're down at the theater, film, and dance department, we've kind of been put on notice.
Yeah, but
we're not laid off.
No, you wouldn't be in that pool because you're not actually, you're
so you're either laid off or you're not.
Yeah, you're not really on notice. Your department's being looked at, but we would have no way of knowing
right.
who in that department is ultimately, because
right.
your department's being is looking at itself.
Right.
So you could apply during the internal period. It would only be individuals who have been put on notice.
Okay.
Okay. So one kind of related, I'm going to try to group these together. This is a great question, I think. If a staff member is currently enrolled in a degree program,
mm-hmm.
can they take advantage of the rest of the semester that they're in?
They all through the layoff period.
So they continue to take classes?
Yeah, that was the question that led me to say you should really have Alan come the whole layoff period. Your benefits continue.
What do you mean by layoff period?
The year that you're on. So you have a whole year where you're treated. Everything is continues as though you're still here, but obviously you're petty.
Okay. Would that be within the fiscal year or calendar year?
It's a 12-month period.
Which, though? Fiscal or?
Okay.
I think the question had to do with, we actually had a meeting with Sarah Strickland and Sarah Wilder, and the question was that I guess if you're an employee and you're in the degree program, you can take advantage of one semester of going to classes full time. If you're laid off, can you still take advantage of going one semester full time? Because the rule, I guess the way we were reading it, it says you can get only 6 credits.
So oh, then you go X new. I don't know. I think that's probably a good question for Alan. If you complete the semester you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe how that goes. I prefer, rather than giving you bad information, to have Alan actually go through all of the benefits with you. Just because I'm just that far removed from the details.
Okay. I think these next couple are related to. Is HR assisting the academic leaders with delivering their messages to staff?
Mm-hmm. The local HR people should be involved in every single... I think I went through this the last time. No layoff can happen before it's been approved. So that happens... bless you. So when a department proposes a reorganization that's going to affect jobs that have people in them. So it's not true if the job is vacant, but if there's a person in it, they propose the layoff in it's very formal, actually. This whole process was reviewed by the Board of Trustees audit department or audit committee and approved. So this process is they propose it to my office. It's reviewed by my office, by Lynette's office, and by the general counsel. And we look at it person by person by person. And it's very labor intensive. It takes quite a while to go through. And the justification for why the reorg and why the individuals were chosen is reviewed and approved. And then the HR director for that unit goes through the plan for how that change is going to be communicated.
Okay. Because I think that pretty much answers our next question, too, which was about, you know, are there procedures of how to handle relaying the information to the staff?
You have to understand, though, how it's relayed. You can give all the procedures in the world, but you can't. You can give all the procedures in the world, and you can try to have somebody do it in a good way. But how someone actually gives that information, I can script out someone, and they can do it just exactly by the script, and do it by the script well, and by the script less well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's very, 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 very hard to let someone go from their job well. Just a difficult message to give.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And it's a difficult message to give in the best of circumstances, and these aren't the best of circumstances. We're struggling because the current situation is so all-inclusive. Everybody's on edge, so there's almost nobody in these circumstances that's doesn't feel upset and nervous. And it just keeps going. I mean, it's like rolling. It just keeps going and going and going. And we're, you know, probably 2 years from budget alignment. So that's what, I mean, it's just a very hard way to do it. That's what I was trying to say. I mean, I believe that it's ultimately the best way to do this. Because in a decentralized organization where you have so many lines of business, I don't think that the top level of the organization knows what the right thing to do is. But it is agonizing to live through. It's just very hard to watch the organization wait and wonder like this.
So do you think we'll stay this course and just the slow lead out kind of
I do, but let me tell you what I think the opportunity is. I think that we'll make a lot of decisions this spring, and some changes in the administrative side of the house that will set some courses, that will get people to understand some of the bigger changes that will occur, and that will help a lot. I think as we're able to say kind of the long-term pattern for some of the administrative operations, people will begin to see where we're going in the administrative operations. That will just help a lot. You know, this is generally where we're heading in administration, and that will allow people to say, oh, I can see myself in that picture of IT, of finance, of HR, of facilities, and make their choices. On the academic side, the academic strategic plan will start to emerge the design for the academic side. People will see changes or no changes in their academic homes, and that will help them to understand whether their academic homes are changing or not. And so what will occur is people will begin to find their homes in parts of the organization that are either done changing or not changing. And honestly, I know this doesn't feel this way, but for some people, changes just don't bother them that much. I do find people around the campus that really are not that bothered by this level of change. They find it interesting. It's not particularly upsetting to them. I had a conversation at one of the turning points, and I was talking about how very, you know, upsetting and concerning to people, and one of the people came after and said, not to me. And I'm right in the midst of an area going through a big set of changes, and I think this is long overdue. And she is in one of the areas going through a lot of changes. She said, my job is probably going to change in a big way, and I happen to believe that I'm going to emerge in a better way, but if I don't, I'm fine. And she's right. She's in an area that she may end up with a very different job, and she's fine. So I think that right now, too much of the campus is going, I have no idea how this affects me. By the end of the spring, I think people will begin to see where they fall. My area is done. I see what's going on in my area. My area is not that affected.
And that's because there are going to be changes made before fiscal year 2011?
Well,
right?
Some will be made, but I guess I'm saying something a little, not very well, but a little different. I think people will just be able to see where they fall in the pattern of changes, even if the changes aren't done. I think what is very hard for most people is that level of abstraction. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't find their place in the dance, if you will. So if you are in IT, you read what comes out, you have no idea what it means to you. It's not, you know they're looking at IT, but what are they looking at on IT? If you get a sort of general geography of the change, that gives you some sense of what that means, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think people will, you know, they'll find their way in the pattern of the changes by the spring. And I also think that we haven't done a good job of setting the context very well. And that's, I think, too bad. We have left this to seem overwhelmingly large. And it's not. And what I have to be careful of is not to underplay it. If you've lost your job, it's overwhelmingly large. And if you're doing two jobs, it's overwhelmingly large. But a $68 million deficit on a $2 billion operating base is, whatever that is, I don't know, what is that, a couple percent. And, you know, a couple hundred layoffs is a lot if you're in the couple hundred. But it's the minority of the changes that we've made. And that's the pattern I see emerging. I think we'll exploit our attrition and try, and that's why we're doing it so slow.
Do you think there'll be another retirement package?
No.
Like ever? Like not this year, next year, but...
What did they say? Like 20 years?
Like maybe 3 years from now.
I will not do another.
Okay.
Because we are carrying the price tag for that still. And it's causing some of the financial issues we have right now. And we knew that when we did it. I mean, it was a value-driven decision to do it. But we knew when we did it, we were adding to the deficit to do it.
Okay.
Can't just keep it. You never get out of this hole if you keep adding to your deficit.
Right.
So we have to pay for the one we did. But we can't just keep doing it.
Okay.
Did this help at all? I feel like it was awfully abstract.
I have one question. How long will the job reason remain for new?
Well, we don't have on the job reason. We never did. So what we have is every job reviewed before we put it up, and every job is first we look for layoffs to fill any job we put up. Then we put it up inside first, and then it goes outside. And we'll continue to do that until we're in budget alignment. That will, so I don't see us ending that until we're out of the budget hole. I can't change that until we stop laying people off.
So right now, there's no job freeze for the external.
No, people feel that way if they're trying to get hired because we're just not hiring very much. But we're still putting jobs up where we can't fill them from the inside. Yeah. I mean, we filled 160 jobs since July. Normally we fill 1,000. So it's a lot fewer if you're trying to get hired.
That's
It's good to advertise, though, that jobs are being filled. It's better than zero.
Right. Now, of those 1,000, we always filled most of those from the inside, right? You know, so there's 1,000, but they were bumping, right? We were always doing that. You know, so it took, I think, 3 jobs to bring in 1 person from the outside. That's, we've always been an employer of ourselves. We always did that. That's not new.
Cecilia, do you have a question?
Only if you have time. I don't know what your time frame is.
Oh, I'm good. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Going back to the spans and layers, the spans and layers assumes that we're trying to flatten the organization.
A little bit.
A little bit. And so in who are generally on the span end, and who are at generally, I mean, is there statistically, can you tell who's who in those kinds of, what, how does that usually work? I'm wondering, well, I have another reason for my question, but I'm just curious to hear your, how you interpret that.
So I don't know. I don't.
Okay, understand. Because I guess I don't understand that very well. I mean, the span is a supervisory sort of position. Is that correct? Or
the layers?
Yes.
The concept behind spans and layers is that the fewer layers you have,
mm-hmm.
the more efficient the organization is going to be. That's the concept of the idea. So that the diagnostic suggests
mm-hmm.
that you can increase the efficiency of your organization
mm-hmm.
if you have fewer managers between the people who do the work
right.
and the people who manage at the top.
Okay.
That's the concept.
So if you're flattening the organization, the assumption is one of two things happens. One, you either increase the number of managers.
No, you decrease the number of managers.
And you increase the number of whatever they're called.
Directors. You don't decrease. You decrease the number of managers.
Okay.
And you can do a couple things. You can increase the number of people who do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can leave the number of people who do the work the same
mm-hmm.
and extract the number of extract managers.
Okay.
So that depends on the amount of work you have to get done.
So in a sort of in a layoff, general layoff, sort of if you were to look at it in terms of position level, it sounds like middle managers are more likely to fall, maybe more, could potentially have more risk of layoff than, say, those that are either in much higher levels in the organization or at the much lower.
That's right.
Is that correct?
That could be. The middle management or the upper management.
Okay.
The least likely to be harmed by a span of layers mm-hmm. would be your individual contributor.
Right. Individual contributor being someone like who was just who sort of what we used to call an organizational realm, the a cosmopolite, the person who's kind of interfacing with the public or is sort of doing most of that.
Non-manager.
Mm-hmm.
In a spans and layers review, but
yeah.
just remember that's only one
diagnostic. Right. Okay.
Right. But in a diagnostic, a spans and layers diagnostic focuses on the elimination of managerial layers. That's correct. So other diagnostics focus on us.
Okay. So I guess to finish my question does that raise issues about diversity and gender balance and those sorts of things, or is that not so much?
It could. In our organization, it doesn't because we were not particularly diverse in our organization.
Mm-hmm.
Managerial and executive ranks,
mm-hmm.
either in gender or in race.
Mm-hmm.
But if we were, it
mm-hmm.
would.
Okay. And it's sort of, you know, I mean, if we were to look at it aggregated across the university, whether or not there might be a trend and whether or not that's being looked at or considered.
That is what we look at in the layoff diagnosis.
Gotcha. Okay. So that is one of the questions.
Yes. That's one of the reviews in the diagnostic. What we find in the layoff diagnostic that we're the most concerned about is age.
Yes.
And that mm-hmm. is very concerning.
Mm-hmm.
What we are unfortunately finding is that we are generally just a very old population.
Mm-hmm.
And so both those we are laying off and those we are retaining are all of us are older.
Mm-hmm.
But our diversity does not appear to be affected. What is affected mm-hmm. is our voluntary turnover. We are losing our diversity balance in our voluntary turnover. And that has been my concern about the morale.
Mm-hmm.
Our top talent that is diverse is the freest to leave. So when you look at top talent that is recruitable, if you follow the talent profile of your population that is newest into the organization, it is your most diverse population. And so they are most recruited, and we're losing them at the highest rate. And that's very concerning to us, because when you're not replenishing,
mm-hmm.
because you're downsizing through attrition, we're becoming less diverse. And that's my biggest concern. And that's true in the faculty as well as the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big worry.
That's not just unique to Cornell, though.
No.
I mean, I just put that out for that standard.
No. It's a big worry, though, because, again, that argues for the rip your Band-Aid off.
Yep.
So I think our challenge from a change management standpoint, and this is where the EA can help the university, is that, you know, we need to keep working through this process. We need to figure out a way to help the university's workforce stay productive while we go through this. If we believe, and again, you know, there is arguments on both sides of this. The president is unwavering. I have to say I'm wavering. I'm tired and I'm sort of saying, all right, I remember when I thought this was humane, but I'm starting to waver. He's unwavering. He says, I just will not put one more person out of work than we have to. As soon as we reach budget balance, I'm stopping. And so if I'm not sure when we're going to recover, then I'm not going to take out one more person than I have to. And so his view is that you just, in a place as diverse as we are, where research dollars are such a big piece, and all of these revenue streams come back in ways you can't know or predict. So you get money in investments, your endowment returns, you have revenue streams like research, and that, you know, he's out there trying to raise money and we're trying to get our investments back, and he says you just can't know those. If you do a, he doesn't like the risk of Band-Aid thing, but I can't think of another one. If you do it fast, you risk cutting more deeply than you have to. So as agonizing as it is to do it this way, he says you don't go any deeper than you need to. I know he's right, but I'm worn to a frazzle here. And so the key to making this work is you gotta keep working. Because if you don't keep being productive, the deficit actually goes up, right? Think about this. If we're all wearing down and productivity is falling down, then we're going to raise the deficit, right? And why? Because faculty say this isn't a good place to go, be, and researchers say I'm taking my money elsewhere, and all of the staff jobs are tied to the faculty and researchers. And when they go, our jobs go with them. So somehow we have to figure out this balance, because the morale is actually tied to departures. And so we have to somehow get this thing in alignment. So I know that it's the right design, but it is all connected. And so that's the
trick. You're out of time.
One.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
So you all can help if you can figure this out.
I'm going to go make my phone call.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
I like the Band-Aid analogy, given that Squirtin's a doctor. I think that's pretty good.
Do you like the word rex?
Well, there was one question I wanted to get to, but I think we might know the answer already about the psychiatric counseling as opposed to career counseling. But I think the employee assistance program is our psychiatric counseling, correct?
Mm-hmm. And faculty campuses.
Right.
Yeah, faculty campuses.
And it sounds like those benefits would be available for 12 months after your layoff. Okay. So
mm-hmm.
I think we can answer that question on our own. And I think we covered them all. Really?
But what I was interested in, and I don't know if you can answer for it or not, but suggesting that somehow productivity is lagging, and what's the data that supports that? Or is there data that supports that? Well, I'm always interested in the phrase morale, because I never know what that means, as far as individuals going to work each day. But the productivity question, I think, is an interesting one.
Well, you think she was saying that there actually are examples of productivity having diminished, or
the federal government measured productivity, workforce productivity, and I don't know if there's any internal data that suggests that.
I mean, it's easy for everyone to say we go to our departments or wherever every day and know from the discussions that go on that there's that morale thing is going on where people are.
Well, especially if half your people have been told that they're going to be laid off in 4 months, I think it's going to point to a lack of productivity.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again? If people were told what?
If people are told they're going to be laid off, I don't think they're going to be as working as hard as they were if they think perhaps they might be able to save their job.
I think that's pretty normal.
I mean, that's common sense.
Especially when you have to train your replacement.
Yeah.
I've been in that situation before. They don't get trained very well.
No.
I think that was the first time I heard an explicit statement that there wasn't a big round of layoffs coming, mm-hmm. and that it was going to be a strategic, really emphasizing the attrition aspect and saying it's going to be on a per unit process of careful evaluation. I think that was actually a really positive thing, but there's not a big axe about to fall.
Right.
But is it going to roll on and on over the course of, you know, is that going to fall into that 2010, 2015 window of when they want to get the budget in aligned up?
Yeah.
Or will it go beyond that?
Yeah, I think Mary's just saying we're not going to just go and wipe the slate clean and cut what we think we need to right now, but we're going to do it in little pockets here and there and hope that people leave and...
Mm.
This place moves slow. It's always going to move slow. I mean, when we have a project going on and it's going okay, we say the glacier's moving in the right direction. So it's just a slow-moving place. And, you know.
I just think the thing that is difficult is that announcements of things are coming out very quickly, but the end result is coming very slow, and I think that that's attributing to the anxiety. Like just in what we're going through, you know, over a month ago now, we were kind of, this big bomb was dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still kind of sitting there waiting to find out what's happening. So for the past month or so, yes, we're moving along and doing our work, but there's also a lot of, oh my God, what does this mean? There's all that, which reduces productivity rather than if they just, they waited till now and kind of got their ducks in a row and then said, okay,
yep.
Here it is. Here's the Band-Aid. Rip it off.
Right.
And you move forward.
Well, I think one thing that could help the employee assembly with you three guys is put together something that would illustrate how you think it should, how you think your particular situation should have been done. What it would look like, what you should have received, what were the protocols.
A model for how it should have been done.
Yeah, that would be a very helpful thing for us to pass along from our colleagues here in the employee assembly.
Well, I think in academic units, the chair and the art director in our case met with the dean and he kind of laid this out for them. The senior faculty of the department is responsible to figuring out and defining what the department should be a year from now.
Right.
They could have done all of that work before,
in advance
of this big notification, so that they could have come and said, okay, here's the situation, we have to make a big cut. We've started looking at what our new model is going to be and go from there. But right now, I mean, it's been a month and we're just starting to have those conversations. So I think...
Six, eight bullet points saying, right. You know, what would be good, just general sort of things that people might want to consider when they're doing this.
I think Mary's observation was relevant, the idea that we give them the information, but how they lay the information is a whole other kettle of fish,
yeah.
You know, in terms of whether they do it well or not. And that's, it'd be lovely to be able to train people how to be layoff specialists in all the positions where they have to do that, but
right.
I don't think that's feasible.
But if George Clooney could come and let, you know,
you would
accept
being fired by George Clooney?
I've never talked to anyone who's lost their job and walked away and just, well, you know, that was, they handled it really well.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, but there's ways you can do it better than, again, what we've seen a little bit of thus far.
Right. And I think that's good, that's real world input that you guys put forward, you know?
The person being laid off is a great disadvantage. It's something they can do all the powers and stuff. If they could only figure out a way you could actually have like a shouting match to get it out there, you know?
Now
it's so genteel, you know, and just there's no place to put that for
you want to see those sort of around.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, we had the staff in our department had a meeting with the chair and the artistic director, and there was some loud voices
good.
Expressing how people were feeling. And,
was it like a musical? What you guys
do? The dance piece. There's a lot of emotion in those.
Standing here relaxed.
Wow.
But I mean, I think Mary's suggestion that we have Alan Bishop come in is really great. I mean, we had a meeting with Tara Wilder and Sarah Strickland and talked about the layoff stuff, and it was, you know, as far as, you know, like a kind of slap in the face at some point because you're sitting there saying, oh crap, but there was a lot of really useful information there, things that you would have never known about, like there's a new grant program that if you are laid off and you decide that you know, there's your career path is not really much of a career path anymore and you want to go into something new, they'll give you grant money to do that. So, I mean, I think they were just interesting things and I think it'd be great to have them come and talk.
I think piggybacking on what Gary said is that a while back was that to me it'd be nice as a service, part of the service organization that we really come directly, you know, you feel like you're in the bowels over there at 120 Maple, so. But it'd be nice to know strategically how our jobs are promoting where they want to be. So if they say, I mean, we're going to do this, we know we're going to do this, this is exactly how your department is going to affect that, and therefore you can draw the conclusion, oh, I want to be part of that because that's where they really see us moving as a university, and I need to support the academics. That would...
giving people a sense of ownership. And
that way you have the productivity, you can help. And I mean, it's not going to change the fact that we still may reduce, you know, maybe you need to reduce by 50%, but you can say, this is where I need to be, or maybe I don't have the skills for that. Maybe I need to already start looking somewhere else. And, yeah, I mean, that just...
So there is a process for that. My bigger unit, organizational effectiveness, is available to do what they call change management, and if the leaders of your area and your HR would support it, they can, you know, contact Kathy Bergman or Chris Halliday, and that's exactly what they're doing. They are going out to units and establishing what you might call line of sight for how your work and your unit lines up with the strategic plan of both the university and your division and your unit, you know, so that there's a congruence. And there are some good tools on the HR site that assist people in doing that, but they will also come out and...
Is there a fee for that?
No fee.
Is it my question? I know what you're saying. My question would be, is specific to the current vision of reimagining Cornell, is it detailed to that, or is it in general, I'm a typewriter operator. Well, obviously, that's not going to be, you're not going to do that anymore. You're going to do something.
No, it's very detailed. I mean, it can be as detailed as you want. So some of the exercises have you establish sort of these buckets of duties, and everybody throws in what they do, and you analyze them. And this is a must-do, a should-do, a nice-to-do, a need-to-do type of thing. And it can be very... I've seen it in action, at least in modeling it. My own little group that I lead is going to be engaged in it next week, so I can report back how it worked for us. But
okay.
Reports that I hear from Chris and Kathy is that the groups that do it have been very satisfied with it and want more.
So is it really like a gathering of members of the department who kind of say, all right, here are the ideas that I have. This is
literally that. It's a facilitated conversation by the ODSOE people. To first they establish where you are on this change management. Some are right at the beginning, what's our vision, some are a little bit further along, some are actually implementing it, and some are up to the stage, wow, we've done this great, now let's review and better it. So there's sort of four areas, and the first thing this tool does is help you, your unit, decide where are you, and you could be anywhere in the on the spectrum, and then there are different jumping off points based upon where you are. That can be worked. So, I don't know, maybe we can extend it, maybe make it part of our next. Of course, it's not my place to how to phrase it, but I could have Chris or Kathy give me a little notice to how they'd like to.
That would be good.
Have this public.
So, the stuff's obviously confidential, right? So, it wouldn't be something like we would go sit in and watch one of these things.
We?
EA.
Oh, have an EA observer to see. There are training sessions right. That are, that maybe an EA observer I could ask to, other than me, I've sat in.
Then as far as the bigger picture goes, are there elements of it that would be good for us?
As a group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the same principles will apply. I mean, what's our vision? What's our mission? What are our priorities? If you look at us as a work group in that sense. The analysis, I'm sure that the tool would apply. An interesting possibility.
Yeah, education for us.
Yeah.
Could be a retreat around
that. Double-edged education for us.
All right, we got to move on, guys. We're running out of time. Our reports. Employee elected trustee, that's not here today. Right, that's that. Yeah. University Assembly representative? In your report?
Leon.
Yeah, he's not here. DPSA?
We had our student advocacy committee is charged with having a town hall forum once a semester, and so we had that on Monday. You might have seen it in the Cornell Chronicle. There was an article about it. It went really well. I was pretty excited that the turnout was pretty good, and there were a lot of university administrative types, deans and provosts and so on there. Basically, we split into four groups and reviewed large portions of the Graduate Community Initiative and had discussions with various stakeholders, and we'll be following up with some resolutions and trying to figure out how to integrate that with the larger strategic planning process over the next short time period.
Okay. Awesome.
Ben,
yeah.
I want to thank you for making these meetings. I think your attendance and participation is really notable. I know you're busy, so thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Faculty Senate?
No meetings since my last report.
Okay. Finance update?
No new finance since my last report.
What are you doing over there in finance?
Report from the chair. Jason's out today because of an IT emergency. He was out all last week. And training, I don't think we probably have too much to report, actually. But we have a lot of minutes to read through. If we want to read through those for a couple minutes, we can approve them.
Okay.
Paul Steeler explained he believes there are significant savings to be ahead.
Do we realize it's how to be better? To be ahead.
Significant savings to be ahead or to be
significant savings to be had.
To be ahead.
Yeah, it's an ad phraseology, but you see that once in a while. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Generally, people don't talk like that, but you know, you see.
But they write like that.
I see. To be
dead.
Okay, this is
very
good.
Find a
question. Good question.
Yes, thank
you. On page 3 of the report from the GPSA representative. The meeting was a little less contented than the presentation. I think basically just scratch everything on the sentence after the GPSA had a meeting with Keith Streeter is probably get rid of the rest of the sentence. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
The voting body had a meeting with Keith Streeter. Is it sufficient?
Okay. Did anyone notice if the Chronicle printed an article after our meeting with Paul? They didn't.
There's an article in. Is it this article? Where do you look?
Well, do we have a motion to approve with the corrections?
A motion.
Second.
Okay. Come on, people, wake up, the lights turned on.
All right, executive committee, there was no meeting last week because of the weather.
Come on, where's the dedication?
However, it was buried under 2 feet of snow.
I called
Thursday night.
Yeah, I'm talking about. So did I, but I got called a no show.
Publicly,
in email. Okay.
No show.
However, there was no executive committee meeting, but there was an elections committee meeting. Do you want to talk about that?
Internal operations.
Okay.
So we can skip ahead, or
okay. Staff recognition. Awards.
The award is going to be April 5th. So it's on Oracle, so if you guys can be there, that would be fabulous. Show your support. We now have a new email address where people can write in for their kudos. Thanks to Gary and Leslie for duking it out over how to put the language in the newsletter. So hopefully we'll get some people writing in about that, but you should let people know if they...
And if you guys have to, but we might be good if we started it off.
Yeah.
Start a little trend.
Helpful.
Who's
the George Peter Award winner again?
Can't tell you. It's a secret.
We talked about it at a meeting. What the hell was your name? I mean, it was like she works in HR or something.
So the reason it can't be told is because it's being recorded right now.
Oh. Anyway, right, thanks. So then, I actually won a George Peter Award several years ago, and I remember the day, the thing that there were these people around who I later figured out were EA members, but there was like no interaction between them and me. I certainly could have gone up to them and introduced myself, but I was still kind of flabbergasted that I even won the stupid thing. Anyway, I think we should be a little more proactive in welcoming when we at these events and just say, you know, hi, I'm like,
or
congratulations.
Well, so that's a
perfect opportunity for you as a winner to say hi.
Welcome to the club. Welcome
Is there a green coat?
Welcome to the club. We all have pipes and stuff.
Maybe the winner of the George Peter Award is automatically a part of the EA.
But anyway, that's just a side comment. We should be welcoming and hospitable.
Okay. Communications. Office of Assemblies has asked for assistance promoting the upcoming elections. So I'm going to tap the Communications Committee to just brainstorm, come up with ideas on doing that for our publications or email or whatnot. I think if we can get a good turnout this year, it would kind of prepare us for, if we want to try to go to a 33 CEA, we really need people running for these seats. You know what I mean? If we can fill 13, well, that would give me hope for the future, is filling 33. You know what I mean?
Everybody should be talking up in their own, not just the Communications Committee, but everybody should be talking up in their individual areas as well. If you could have your HR people send something out or
anyone
send something out yourself.
Enthusiastic these days, I think, would be wonderful. You know? Personnel policy?
We met a little while ago, but I haven't been in a couple of the meetings. And there were a couple of things that we focused on in terms of possible changes to the flexible work policy, which is the one that we had mentioned we were going to be taking a look at. The first thing is that we thought, in particular with telecommuting, that there's a very nice tie-in with taking a look at the university sustainability goals. And telework is a really nice way to try to help promote that through the policy. So that's one piece that we're looking at. And the other piece is really trying to extend flexibility from not just looking at flexibility within a work week, but flexibility potentially in terms of a work year, in terms of phasing into retirement, because there's a lot of people who maybe want to go to a three-day work week or a part-time work week. So we really wanted to try to broaden out what the concept of flexibility in the workplace is in the language. And so we are meeting again next week, and one of the things that I'll be sharing with the committee is the policy. There's a policy statement at the very beginning of the policy, and my office has taken that feedback from the last Personnel Policy Committee, and we're working on kind of coming up with what that policy statement might look like that would incorporate that in, because we figure that's kind of like the vision for the policy. And so those who are on the committee will be receiving a copy of that in advance of to try to start working on that. And then once we have that piece done, then it will be a lot easier to start building the other pieces of recommendation around the policy. So that's kind of where we got with it.
IOC?
The Elections Committee, or a portion of the Elections Committee, met. Everyone who has another year on the EA is part of that committee. We have 6 open spots to fill for next year. And they're passing around a calendar now. This is the calendar that Amy put together, and we made some modifications and new rules. For election, we modified those a little bit, but we're removing for next year is we need to go in petition, so all those signatures that we had to go and get, we won't need to do that anymore.
Or forge.
Or forge.
Whatever.
I just showed up.
Congratulations. Seat for empty.
So that's going to change a little bit. Other than that, everything else is staying the same. What we did also put in there is typically you're appointed for a 2-year term. We did put some notices in the ruling there that in the guidelines that it may only be a 1-year term. So if we do go to a 33 CEA next year or for the following year, everyone who's on next year will be off and all the decisions will be made and we'll start fresh. So that was kind of the bigger changes. Like David said,
I'm not sure about that either. Then there will be absolutely no transition if we completely start out fresh without anyone who's had EA. And granted, it might be. I kind of feel like there would need to be some level of transition.
And I think that's why we just left it as a maybe. I mean, certainly I would say if there was, I'll just use Leslie and I as an example. If we both ran next year, we both got on, and you're both served for arts and sciences, and the model's only to have one person for arts and sciences, then we'd have the ability to say, okay, one of you can, you'd have to run off, kind of thing. But if, you know, you're the only representative for your area, potentially you could stay on there. Okay. It's still a work in progress. Continue to look at it. But it's just a footnote in there on the chance that we want to, but the general sense to you. Like David said, communications is going to work with Ari. They're putting together some flyers. We're looking at a Soup and Hope. We'll have something so whoever's there, if they can hand out flyers, encourage people. And I think trying to even encourage people outside of your regular network is great, because we really want to try and get as diverse of a group as we can moving forward. And hopefully get more than six people who will run, so that we actually have contested races as opposed to just,
Is there any forums or anything?
We didn't set up any forums right now. Like last year when I ran, there was a forum on the calendar, but because it was uncontested, there was no forum. So we've left in there, in the rules, an option to have a forum.
Mm-hmm.
But if we only end up with three people running for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Don't say that.
I'm not saying, I'm just putting that out there. But we would not like to do a forum. We just changed it to say, public kind of forum organized. So we'll have some time to do that. We actually spread things out a little bit more.
Yeah, but it seems like, you know, given the time, fairly condensed time frame, we might want to pencil in some sort of date just to have it in a venue, just in case we did need it. And hopefully we will need it, you know.
So where we usually hold them, we need
the forum. The EA hasn't had a forum in a long time. The forums we've had have been, the only one I remember have been for the employee elected trustee races. So, I guess you guys will have to get creative.
So where were they when you did them?
Those new ground.
So
there at the Hall of Fame room, right?
Yeah.
It's the Hall of Fame. It's the
Hall of Fame.
Sorry. What?
We don't get out much.
There might be a lot of interest this year for running for employee assembly. So we could market it effectively.
I hope so. Anything from university benefits?
No.
Employee education?
Well, last meeting one person came. Next tomorrow we have a meeting with HR, people who are representing the education benefit. There will be three people from HR answering some very important questions. It would be nice if all of us could be there. I put out a notice today. It's in room 163. Which is downstairs, right by the HR office. Well, I'll send out a notice today. I think it'll be in a, it'll be at noon, so it's at lunch. It should be fairly easy for people to take some time and ask some good questions about the employee benefit. I think some of that should come up.
Yeah.
I should say, I'm curious to know if you guys, and I'll try and make it tomorrow, if you guys can pose the question that we got to Mary about what happened for people in the degree program.
That would be great. I have it written down, and if I don't remember, and if you're there, make sure that it's
And I think it might just be interesting for Education Committee to look and see if there's maybe something that we can put in that says it's because layoffs will probably be sustained for at least another couple of years, that maybe we can put some language in there that would say, you know, someone's laid off those.
That's good. Thank you.
I think we got our Cornell on transition update from Mary.
Okay.
Yeah. any old business? No. Any new business? Actually, I have some new business. Really quick, I think we have major issues with staff getting to the A lot after work. Does anyone else notice that?
Is it because of the buses?
Yeah, like, it's bad.
What do you mean by that?
They made changes. Like, there's only one bus that runs by Risley these days. And like yesterday, I just actually watched this whole process.
Mm-hmm.
4:30 bus came like 3 minutes early. Didn't wait. Had like a dozen people on it. Not even close to full. Left. So all the 4:30 people missed that bus. There was like a line of people waiting there. The 4:40 bus came. It was full.
Right.
Two people got off. He let two people on. So there's still a whole line of people standing there waiting to get to A lot. So now they're waiting like 20 minutes by the time the next bus comes.
Oh.
Like there's only one running through there now, and it used to be the 81 and the 82. And I just feel like in between 4:20 and 4:40, there should be more buses.
Yeah.
And same with like maybe from 4:50 to 5:10. You know what I mean? Just
now, is 81 from TCAP? Or is that maybe Cornell?
Yeah, and I think they're not really Cornell employees, are they, the drivers?
TCAP is tri-owned by Cornell, the county, and the city. And each entity pays a third of the operating cost.
So
they're not Cornell employees.
I would bring it up to the Transportation Advisor Committee, which you have a representative on.
Well, it's not just that from the staff standpoint, but also, like, I noticed a lot of the drivers are just miserable. Like, I every morning when I get on the bus, I say good morning, I swipe my badge, and there's some people are great, they're really friendly and nice. Other people have not once ever had they said good morning to me. Why are these people so miserable at 8:00 in the morning? And you know what I mean? If they were our staff, we would be looking into it. Might be silly, but
no, I'm just thinking
maybe.
I wonder how much is the weather
impact all of this? At 4:30, I'm just like,
well, they shouldn't. Actually shouldn't be a 4:30 bus because people are getting off.
It should be like 4:35.
Like 4:35.
Yeah, I agree completely. Anyway, future reference.
But I would bring it to that group too because
I meant to ask Mary, but
yeah, they should explore it.
So David Lee, who works over at Transportation and Mail Services, he's on the TCAP Board of Directors. So he works for Cornell, he's on the TCAP Board, LIEB.
Yeah. Okay.
The TAC, the last Transportation Rangers Committee meeting was canceled due to lack of agenda items, so.
Mm. Oh, we'll go cool.
Add an item. Judgment.
Also, you should contact TCAP directly as well. I have a TCAP employee on my and I was talking to her about problems, and she said,
okay,
we need to let them know.
Well, I didn't want to just spout off to them before talking to you guys. And
you know, they need to know that, though. It helps them. Mm-hmm.
Right, and they may be able to do a study of
how
many people are getting on when. I mean, I'm sure they have all that data.
Yeah.
Okay. And the last thing I have, I just wanted to say a special thanks to Gary for all the getting the EA newsletter out last week.
Yay.
People were absent. There was 2 feet of snow. There was confusion, but it made it out on time without corrections,
right.
So thank you.
Donna came up to me, one of our staff at AAP came up to me in the hall and said, I really liked that newsletter, it was wonderful. And I said that I would.
And tell her to join our Facebook page.
Yes.
A trickle of people.
I will remind her to.
So David Lee's email is DJL5.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Anything else? Nobody?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Is there any way we can get it in a paper?
Paper form.
Paper form.
We can do that.
For once a year.
Yeah. Okay.
Certainly the newsletter.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, with all this electronic stuff, it worries me, but the digital divide does exist.
And then that,
places where people are not on computers all day long here,
I should just print out one and then get them to the building coordinators and have them put them on. That'd be the strategy, I think.
I'm happy to help.
Great.
We're late. Yeah.
Yeah.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Overcast. Thank you, everybody.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.